I want to thank you today for tuning in again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. God is good. Mightily, mightily moving by His Spirit, He is. He's mightily moving by His Spirit. I thank the Lord for that. He's putting things together. And we left the last broadcast talking about how important it is to follow God's plan. And I'm going to tell you, it's a beautiful plan. Now, I'm commissioned to reveal what He gave me to reveal on the radio, so that's what I'm going to do. But I'm going to tell you right now, the plan of God got your back. It's a good plan. And He's doing things, and in these days, it's going to be a blessing. In the world, there are going to be a lot of problems happening. Benny Hinn said evil is coming. But don't be afraid. You're going to have to look to God if you want to win now. And it's important to follow God's plan. It's important to live by God's word, because the word gives you strength. Now, we're dealing with end times. We're still dealing with end times. But it's not fair to me to tell you all the things going to happen in the end times without telling you how to live. So this section of end times is relevant. In order to go forward now in this life that's hard to live, you're going to have to study God's word so that the Holy Spirit can relate to you His word. Now, people have all kinds of beliefs and opinions, and they stick to them like glue. Well, we believe that way. We believe this way. And they're settled. And it's hard to budge people from the way that they think. Especially if they think within a group. And groups usually stick to their own kind. But you're going to have to come to the point that you obey God. God thinks greater than your group, than your church, than your friends, than the family you were raised in. And if you're going to go forward in this life, you're going to have to learn the concepts of God. Because some of the concepts that are shaped among people are also shaped by the world, which is shaped by Satan himself. Sometimes the things people hold on to at the end of the day is satanic. And satanic things can't work. When people preach God's word out of context, it is not anointed speech. The only part of a man of God's speech is when he speak in line with the intended meaning of God's holy word. In order to get that kind of understanding, to build your life upon, that's the rock that you build your life on. A lot of people say, well, the rock is the word of God. Yeah, it is. But it's rightly divided word of God, not misinterpretations. And again, I've been to all types of churches, and it's hard to get people to budge from whatever they've accepted to believe. Now, the men of God had the same problem. This is nothing new. Last week we talked about Saul, how he counted all things dumb that he learned before he met Christ. Now, a little history. He studied under Gamaliel, a great man of the law. And Paul was a Pharisee. And Pharisees did not believe on Jesus for the most part. Only a few of them got saved and became Christians. And it was popular for them to persecute the church. In other words, put them in jail, kill them, because they didn't understand what Christ came to do. The law was given, folks, the law was given to expose the fact that we needed a Savior. The law had no possible way for the law to make a man righteous. That's why Paul said, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Now, when we first met him in Acts chapter 7, a man named Stephen was preaching in chapter 7. And he started from the beginning. And he ministered, he broke the word of God down so people could understand Christ. He talked about Moses. He talked about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He talked about Joseph. In verse 8, it's in chapter 1, verse 8, and Saul was consenting to his death. And at the time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now, this was Saul before he got saved. He was doing the work of Satan. He was scattering the body of Christ. The good thing was they preached the word wherever they went when they ran from him. All right. Now, Saul heard every word that Stephen said before they stoned him. All right. Now, in chapter 9, this is when Saul got converted. And I read verse 1 in chapter 9. Now, in chapter 8, we see that he was holding the men's coat that was stoning Stephen. But he heard what Stephen said. But he didn't. The word gets in your heart. Even though he was an enemy, the word got in his heart. That's why I'm not so fast to write people off. I don't know who has a salvageable heart. Some people act right and they still won't hear the word. And some people are murderers. Because Satan was trying to get them. Satan suspected that they had a good heart. And he tried to mar their life before they got to know Jesus so nobody would trust them. Because one day they would get saved and be dedicated and they'd be the kind of person like Paul turned out to be. Now, Paul's name used to be Saul, so this is the same man that persecuted the church. All right, in chapter 9 it says, "And Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went to the high priest." He was doing the work of a terrorist. He was doing nothing no different than Bin Laden. He went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now remember, Jesus didn't speak in Old English, but that's how it was interpreted. Verse 6, "And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul and Saul arose from earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord." See, the Lord can direct people that will hear him. people that are strengthened in His word, people that love Him, they can hear God sometimes. Verse 11, and the Lord loves to speak. Verse 11, and the Lord said to him, arise, go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive sight. See, I believe in the laying on of hands. If you're a man of God, you can lay hands on people and they will get healed. Verse 13, and Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of many of this man. I've heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And there he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. So even Ananias knew what the man was coming to do before he met Christ, of course. But the Lord said to him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, and entering into the house and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared to thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. See, the Lord is still filling people with the Holy Ghost. And baptizing people and healing people. These are the days of Acts. We're still living in the days of Acts. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name of on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound into the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Now they want to kill him. The same spirit that was on him to kill others was against him now. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He's an enemy to Satan. And Satan's going to find people that don't believe yet to destroy him. But their laying await was known of Saul. See, when you have the Holy Spirit, people can lay in wait to kill you, but the Holy Spirit will tell you where they are. Now, we need that kind of guidance right now. Some of you need it right now. But the key is submitting your life to the Lord. First, get saved. And then, if you're saved, study God's word and pay attention. Always listen to see what the Holy Spirit has to say. Every morning you wake up, ask the Lord is that to help you realize the message he wants to get to you. Yield to the Spirit. He's going to teach you more than you know, and more than what you're used to, and more than what other people are used to. Don't struggle so hard to keep the same mindset that you got that keeps you in trouble. A better way always exists. You can't do no better till you learn better. Give yourself a chance. You're going to have to one day trust the Lord with your life, with the rest of your life. You trusting him how you trusted him in the past. Now let this be a new chapter where you follow him. I tell you what I did. When the Lord called me to the ministry, I wouldn't eat. After I went to bed that night, I said, now, Lord, show me what I got to do. And I got me a piece of paper. And I heard on the radio a man, he did the same. He was going through. In fact, I went on a fast. I said, Lord, I'm not going to eat meats or sweets until you show me what I got to do. And because I didn't know what to do. And I heard three men on the radio. They were talking about the same kind of thing. This guy got a piece of paper. He wrote all the things he was going to do. And then he wrote, he wanted the Lord to fill in what he wanted him, what the Lord wanted of him. And then he was going to sign the paper as a contract. And the Lord said, get another sheet of paper, a blank sheet of paper. And he did. He said, now sign the bottom. And the man signed the bottom. And he said, now I'll fill it in. And when I heard that, that answered my question. Because that was the same thing he said the night I prayed, the night he called me to the ministry. He said, follow me. So I signed me a sheet of paper, and I just let the Lord tell me what to do. And it's so much better, and it's so much easier. And I learned a lot more. I learned things I couldn't learn at church. I learned things I couldn't learn from men. And the things I learned, check this out. The preachers that were doing the same thing confirmed what the Lord told me in the prayer room, in my war room. And I thank God for it. See, when I go through a crisis, I don't go around telling folks. I go to church, and the Lord, he tell me in my heart, and he confirm it through others, other men and women of God, men and women of God. And some of them are preachers, some of them are not. But when the Lord, when you're in faith, he's going to talk to you. And whatever he tell you, he going to have somebody else say the same thing. Most of the time. They'll say something. And you don't have to go and get people involved with every little detail. If you write it down. Write down what he say to you and write down what he confirmed through other people. You're going to have to one day learn to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. If there's a pastor you love that have always blessed you, be a blessing to him or her. But look unto Jesus, because Jesus can show you more than they can. God gives us a football player his talent, but the coach helps him develop it. Now, the men and women of God in your life, they help you develop what God gave you in the first place. They're there to help you. They can't do everything, and they can't do the work of the Holy Ghost of themselves. And the Lord expects you to grow up. Grow up. And learn to go and learn to hear him for yourself. Moses told Joshua, don't be jealous for me because the people prophesy. He said, I wish they all prophesied. Joel said that he would pour out his spirit on the last days and your sons and daughters will prophesy. And Peter stated that the Holy Spirit is for you, your children, and for all that the Lord, our God, will call. The Holy Spirit didn't stop being sent the Lord didn't stop giving us the Holy Spirit when the apostles died. Those are lies. He baptized people now in the Holy Spirit. And if you go to a church that don't teach that, you go be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to leave the church. Just get all you can get. And thank God for more. Sometimes you have to put something in motion to wake folks up that don't want to wake up. The only thing I know of that'll help people shift gears is more light. If people stay in the same rut, it's because they don't see enough light. Give them more light to see. And don't be ashamed of the move of God. That's what I do. I'm going to follow God, and you're just going to have to get used to it. If you got a doctrine against what God is doing, all right, I'm going to do God's word. And you're just going to have to watch me move with God. And if I operate in more light, you're going to have to make a decision. And that's just the way people going to do what they want to do. They can be just as stubborn as a camel. I mean, they can be just as stubborn as a donkey. But when they see you riding your thoroughbred and they being stubborn in their donkey trail, then they going to want better. Because most people got real good sense. But they were taught wrong. But more light gives people a chance, and God loves all of his people. And I ain't mad, I'm not mad at people that disagree with me, but I'm going to follow God. I know, I mean, it's inevitable that people are going to disagree. I've been past that. Because the only thing to get people out of a rut is more light. When Paul got knocked off his horse, he saw more light from heaven to the point that he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He answered his own question. And then Jesus said, "I'm Jesus, who you are persecuting." And he changed his mind. Jesus went to Ananias and said, "I want you to lay hands on him so he can receive his sight." He's praying. In other words, he believes. Don't be afraid of him. He's not a monster anymore. He's not a terrorist. He's your brother. Pray for him. Let him receive his sight. And I'm going to baptize him in the Holy Ghost. And he's going to be effective for the kingdom of God. And he is. Now, I can't say he was because we're still reading his writings. Millions and billions of people got saved because of Saul. Because he believed. And the Lord changed his name to Paul. And he became one of the greatest apostles. And I thank God for him. God knocked him off his horse. And we all need to be knocked off a horse sometime. So that we can wake up, receive more light, and live more light. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to bless those who trust him and seek his ways. I love you. God loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.